That's the worst way to start any episode is what do you got?
What do you got?
Whenever you start with what do you got, it's a big, a terrible episode. I'm not even going to acknowledge that.
we've actually got a few things to talk about, PlayStation related.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I did not have a chance to watch anything beyond Final Fantasy 16. So I will not have a lot to discuss. I did see that. I mean, I could probably input on stuff, but you could tell me some of the stuff they have. I'm actually probably going to take a look at least on the PlayStation account on YouTube and kind of get an idea of what we're dealing with. But let's start with Final Fantasy. Actually, I also saw the Hogwarts thing. Final Fantasy 16. What did you think of that? Because I know you're, aside from the fact that you're butthurt that they're not really working on Final Fantasy 7, or at least that they're not solely working on Final Fantasy 7 remake, and that they're apparently farther along. Yeah, I think it's funny you got in touch with me saying, like, well, they're farther along than they are in Final Fantasy 7 remake. I'm like, no shit, Final Fantasy Remake 1 came out this year. What did you expect?
Something.
Why?
Because I'm selfish.
Yeah.
The trailer has elements that remind me of 12 and elements that remind me of 15.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like you might be on a at least partially solo adventure. Like, all the fighting that they showed was almost
one
person taking on and it looks like we'll be controlling some summons in ways that we've never done before, because it looks like summons are used in they were called icons in the trailer. And it looks like people actually turn into their summons or something like that, or they control them somehow, some way, because it looks like your character or character you're connected with can turn into the Phoenix, and it goes up against Bahamut, which doesn't make much sense, but whatever.
I mean, we don't have the context for it, so it's hard to say. I mean, what did you think of the style and feel of it? Because what struck me was that it almost harkened back to pre-Final Fantasy VI for me.
Mm-hmm.
In that it was medieval inspired for the first time in God knows how long.
Since
five?
Well, the online games.
Well, the online I don't count, but I'm talking about like the actual single player games.
And then 12.
12, I guess. I wouldn't consider that fully.
It's medieval-ish. I mean, they got airships.
Airships aren't medieval. Oh, I thought you were claiming that airships were medieval for a second. What are you talking about?
They had that in Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's true. That's true. But I guess what I'm thinking here is, because for when I look at Final Fantasy XII, it has a distinct visual style that is distinctly not medieval. Yeah, they have castles shit.
But I meant like it's all swords, magic, it's all oldie feel to things, suits of armor and shit like that. And there is one character that they killed that looks like a judge from Final Fantasy Tactics or 12 or Tactics, any of the Ivalice games. And what a lot of people don't know is that the time difference and continents in the world of Final Fantasy 12 and Tactics is huge and spans like thousands of years. So this could be Ivalice in a different time period on a different continent.
It could be.
I wouldn't be against that, actually. Revisiting that world, but at a different time, different place. You might run into some familiar things, but they're still, because the time and space is so, or the t- timeline is so long, you can be really, really unique. But yeah, there's a chance, a slight chance, there might be some tactics or 12 connection to this.
I mean, that could be a thing. But yeah, for me, as far as like the overall feel and style, it just felt more like, it felt closer to like something like Game of Thrones than any other Final Fantasy I've seen since ever. But I mean, like, I guess more distinctly based on European type stuff. Because even like Final Fantasy 12, yeah, you have that. It just looks, it kind of resembles more Final Fantasy 10 style, which was very like Eastern Asian. With, you know, obviously different aspects sort of meshed together and stuff. So this one felt distinctly, other than like the freaking chocobos and monsters, it just felt like it could have just been like The Witcher almost, you know, just in terms of how it looked.
That's what Brian compared it to. He said it seemed a lot darker.
Yeah, it's like grimdark fantasy. It looks like grimdark fantasy. Everything, the character designs, they pulled like most of the anime out of the character designs. It's like lost its anime edge. It looks more like it's made to appeal to Western audiences.
Maybe 15 did pretty well here in North America. I don't remember what its total sales were, but
it did pretty good.
It did pretty well, especially since it was available on all systems but 16.
15 was super anime too.
Yeah. 16 is supposed to be a PlayStation exclusive.
Asterisk.
Supposed to be. What's the asterisk?
I mean, there literally was like, it's a PlayStation exclusive, and there was an asterisk that said, also available on PC.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But as far as a console exclusive is how consoles. They, yeah.
Yeah.
PlayStation console exclusive, which makes sense. But yeah, I'm interested. This is a bit, I'm not all about grimdark fantasy. I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. I would say that, you know, I'll have to wait and see more. We did see like the standalone parts that you saw where he was fighting by himself. Mm-hmm. It definitely felt like a kind of Final Fantasy 15 or Final Fantasy 7 remake ish with how it was done, with how he was fighting the characters. But there was no UI for us to go base anything on. So it's like it was hard to tell really what was going on gameplay wise. But you know, I'll keep an eye on it. You know, it's okay. We have 5 years till it comes out. So,
yeah, exactly. Five years and a 3 month push.
I saw a lot of funny comments where people say like people complaining about the graphics not looking that great. Don't worry, they have 137 years left of development. It's gonna be okay.
I thought it looked all right.
I think it looks fine too. I guess for me, it's just
next gen. I don't know if it necessarily looks next gen, but they made it with computers in mind, so I think it looks pretty.
I mean, it looks fine. We're legitimately at the point of diminishing returns with these things, so it's like between now and the next console, I don't think it's going to necessarily make a difference in terms of visuals as much as maybe like overall
smoothness
and feel
screen.
Exactly, like the stuff that only like super hardcore gamers are going to notice more than just passively.
I like the armored chocobos.
Yeah, they look good.
Armored chocobo tattoo, but
they've actually, the thing is, they did a really good job with the chocobos here because usually they're kind of like, you know, Final Fantasy, and then weird chocobos, you know, they're weird and stuff. But then like here, it looked like they made them grounded. They made them look like they were actually a part of a legitimate like medieval inspired world. Like it didn't make me do say like, hey, well that looks out of place. It felt like a part of the world.
Yeah. I'm looking through like a screen by screen, and it does look like at the beginning at least you should be. It does look like you're fighting alone through a lot of everything, but then there's that what looks like might be a time shift from your younger self to your older tattooed self.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's when you've got the party with the other guys, where at the beginning they're standing around the fire talking about stuff to do, and they're like, we, this, that, and the other, and he points to his tattoo on the face.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's going to be a time skip, and I do think you'll end up with a party not too far along into the game.
Sure. Or maybe there's going to be some Final Fantasy IX shenanigans where you're following multiple threads at the beginning for a long while before you guys kind of meet up.
Yeah. Yeah. They could definitely do that too. Yeah. There's a lot of ways they can go. I'm okay with it.
You're okay with the visual style? Because I know. Yeah. What do you think of the visual style? You're cool with it?
Like you said, they kind of took like all of the anime out of the characters. A lot of things look more hyper realistic, a lot like 15 kind of did. Honestly, I still get a lot of 15 feels from some of this stuff.
15 had like kind of realistic character designs, but I felt like the world itself still felt super anime. And like the style, style that it had, like maybe the clothes that they wore, the way they talked, the way they sort of, the way their personalities were and the way they held themselves. It felt super just anime, or I guess anime or like J-pop, K-pop feel, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas this one doesn't feel like that at all.
Yeah. I like the look. I'm just going through the trailer, just looking at shots and, It looks good. They're a hell of a lot further away on it than I thought they would be. Even though I know there's more.
I mean, this is just a cutscene. I mean, I mean, obviously there's more than cutscenes. There's some cutscene and some gameplay, but like, who knows when it's coming out? Still, right?
Oh God, I don't expect this till 2022.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Legitimately, yeah,
2022, and then a 3 month pushback.
Oh yeah, that's true. So maybe early 2023. March
2023. March 2023. There we go.
God, you heard it here first.
I was so fucking pissed when they pushed Final Fantasy VII back. It's like, you assholes. The fuck are you doing?
Oh, you got to play it. You got to play it more than once. You're fine.
I did. I'm good. Good to go. Other things that they showed, Deathloop is one of the games I'm most interested in. That's where you play as a character who's caught in a loop, and he has eight other
assassins or whatever.
Assassins, like, he has to kill, but there's somebody that's hunting him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So each time you die, you reset, the loop resets, and it's all about figuring out how to outsmart your eight targets and then outsmart the person hunting you. You saw they didn't show too much different. They just kind of went more into the that it's eight people and showed off gameplay a lot more.
I guess that makes sense. So basically what I get from it is that it's really fucking hard to start with, and eventually you learn how to thread the needle through each level as you go.
Yeah.
Based on like your experience and all the times you died, you're like, okay, I need to go over here next time. And then you basically edge it, tomorrow it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. For lack of a better
pretty
word.
Much.
That seems like it could be fun. Like. And frustrating. Like, I can imagine.
I like the style of it. It looks really cool.
I'm always okay when people go with like crazy, weird, pulpy, cartoony, comic book style, and that's basically what this is right now. So yeah, it's a cool concept. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if I'd pay $60 for something like this though.
I don't know either.
That's kind of pricey for that kind of limited experience where it's just kind of that, except repeated.
It has some sort of robust multiplayer on it.
Even then, I'm not into multiplayer either. It's funny because I have a bunch of friends that I play with, but usually it's like once a week or every 2 weeks for like 20 to 30 minutes where all of our schedules aligned for like a brief moment in time, and then that's it.
When our schedules align.
And meanwhile, they got me fucking playing Overwatch, and I'm just like, I don't get this game. It feels like just Counter-Strike, except I'm old and haven't played Counter-Strike in years, so I'm still bad. I used to be so good at Counter-Strike, but yeah, Overwatch just feels like that, except, you know, newer, and then people are claiming it's new. It really isn't. It doesn't feel like a new game, it just feels like an old one, to be honest, but I guess people like it.
They took a lot of players from the Team Fortress 2 community.
So that makes sense.
To Overwatch.
So that makes perfect sense then.
So
but
we
yeah.
lost a lot of people that when I used to play a lot a couple years ago.
Of Overwatch?
I go off and on of playing TF2, where I'll play religiously for months, and then I won't touch it for a year. But yeah, we there's one specific server group that I belong to that I would frequent, and fuck, and we lost like half of our usual players to Overwatch, and they would come back over every now and then and be like, oh, you guys should come over to Overwatch, and it's like, no, I refuse change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just old. So, I mean, it feels very similar. It's just newer. Uh-oh. It has a, you know, anyway, continue.
I was going to say, Deathloop kind of reminds me of Superhot. I know the ideas are a little bit different in Superhot. Time moves slowly unless you move, but it's still all about finding patterns and how to kill the enemies before they kill you, because it's like one hit kills, and it's a really interesting game. If you've never seen Superhot, check it out online. Videos, at least. It's a really, really, really cool game. And Deathloop reminded me of that. What else did they
Hogwarts Legacy.
Hogwarts Legacy, a game that was leaked a while ago.
It sucks. Is this going to be in PS4 too? Because I was kind of hoping it was going to come out this generation. Guess not.
I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. I know it looks like they've taken a lot of good care of it.
It's, yeah, it looks
set
good
in the 1800s, so there's nothing really written here. It's kind of like free space to play around in the wizarding world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a nuclear launch that's been detected. they promise that you're going to get to explore outside of Hogwarts. They showed Hogsmeade. They showed some open areas and
inside the castle as well. I want to fucking explore this castle. I want to explore this castle, go to classes, and do all kinds of shit. I want to do it so bad.
Are you really that excited about it?
Oh, I'm so. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be. The thing is, I'm not necessarily excited for the game because I have no idea what the gameplay is going to be like. But fuck, yeah. Man, I just want to go and like live the life. You know, of a freaking Hogwarts student. Just let me do that. Forget the outside world. I don't give a shit about that. Make me go to class and learn shit. And maybe go to the library and study and all that.
Turn to page 34 in your Defense Against the Dark Arts book.
Exactly. Want to live the life.
Jammer sitting there hitting the left thumbstick to page 34.
I mean, it's definitely going to be more
press
than
X
that.
Press X to raise your hand and ask a question.
But at least I want to feel like I'm immersed in sort of the classroom or the school setting.
Yeah. That'll be cool. You don't want to just constantly be doing quests where you don't do anything at all. I would hope that the majority of your skill tree would be earned through schooling.
Yeah. Yeah, though I am torn on that because, you know, on one level I agree, but on another level it does kind of like make it a bit too easy. Like, for example, Fire Emblem, the way you go to class and like all of a sudden you have all these stats level up, and I'm just like, Fire Emblem Three Houses for Switch, and I'm just like, that's cool, but like it just becomes kind of like a motion that you go through as opposed to something you actively engage with, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like when you just like, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to increase my intelligence or whatever. And then you go, you're like, you attended class. And then it has like a bunch of things saying, ch-ch-ch-ch, and then it has like level up here. Da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not really going to class. I'm just pressing a button and my intelligence is increasing. And you're kind of giving it like sort of a guise of something else. Like I want a little bit more engagement on that front, an immersion.
What if they require to use spells? I thought this might be an interesting way to do it. You hold one of the trigger buttons, and then using maybe the right stick or something. I don't know. You move in different directions that moves the wand that does the spell, and you can only learn those at school. So it's not like you just push a button.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to learn how to do the action.
Or have the game on Switch. You have to play them with the Joy-Cons disconnected, and then you have to wave around your, as you're walking around, you move around your right hand, and it controls the freaking wand movements.
I mean, they could do that for this. For the Switch,
I mean, they're not going to do that. But let's be real, they're not going to do that.
That's there. God of War 2 was Ragnarok was mentioned. So I didn't complete the first of the rebooted series set with the Norse mythology, but literally all they showed was the world snake and. Then 2021 you can hear Kratos say something, and then the word Ragnarok appears in 2021. So I was so disappointed in that game because of the controls. I know a lot of people love it, and that's fine, but I can't go from the high flying Kratos of the PS3, you know, where you're jumping around, you're doing all these combos and stuff, where it's almost Devil May Cry feel, you mm-hmm. know. I can't go from that to like Resident Evil tank controls.
Are they no really jumping? Are they really that bad?
For me, they are. Yes,
I have the game because it came with my PS4, but I haven't played it yet, so I can't speak to that.
Like I said, I had played all of them. I think the three, the PlayStation 2, and then the two on PlayStation 3, and then I played at least one of the ones on. I've got one of the ones on PSP. I don't remember which one it is. I didn't think there was two. So like I'm a fan of the series. I bought that game day one, played it for about 6-8 hours and barely even got to the quote-unquote open world part of it.
Mm.
And I was just I can't jump, I can't do this, I can't keep action buttoning to climb up ledges and stuff. Like God of War is not the game for that. And games like Ghosts of Tsushima and Horizon Zero Dawn, even Assassin's Creed, the more recent ones have proven that you can still do that type of game where there's climbing and jumping and more freedom of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And still have an epic, big game where it's real up close and personal with the character you're controlling. Just seeing what else is about there, and then to have a game take away jumping, which was very important to the character before, and then make it so slow feeling. God, I hate tank controls.
Yeah, I can't speak to it. I haven't played Tank Control since Code Veronica, I don't think.
So, I don't know. Maybe they'll do. I doubt they'll add jumping or whatever to Ragnarok, but maybe. Maybe. Devil May Cry 5 is getting some Ultimate Edition remaster or something like that. I don't mm-hmm. know how you remaster a HD game, but it's getting something fancy. I actually liked the reboot on PS4, Devil May Cry. I thought that was actually pretty good. I was not sad, but it was odd to see them abandon their reboot line to do a direct sequel to the original. Fine. Mm-hmm. It was all right, I guess. I don't fucking know. they didn't show anything else from Horizon, which in my mind says they don't have much else to show. They had what they had a few months ago, and that's it. Like that game is still a ways off.
Sure.
But that's for me. Well, actually, with the last couple minutes, let's talk the price points.
You don't want to talk about Miles Morales at all?
Oh my, that's right. They showed gameplay. Gameplay is very, very similar to the regular Spider-Man game.
Mm-hmm.
Miles has his own set of moves, though. He seems like he's a little bit more acrobatic, maybe.
Yeah.
They did a bridge scene where they kind of combined it with the ship scene and train scene from Homecoming and Spider-Man 2, where Spidey's trying to use brute strength to hold, you know, a bunch of webbing and hold something together or stop something. And Miles is actually able to do it, which was kind of cool, I guess. It's a neat little cinematic scene.
They did a good job also of the scene leading out of his house into like sort of the block party or whatever, the neighborhood block mm-hmm. party. Just sort of the feel of it. It felt very nice and rich and vibrant.
Yeah, and that's exactly how the regular game feels.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You even play as Miles a couple times in the regular game. Not as Spider-Man, but as his own self. He's got his own little, like, missions that you got to do. And anyways, so yeah, that's coming out on PS4 as well. You're going to be able to buy the combo. So it'll come on PS5. It'll come with both Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales. And I'm not quite sure what they're going to do for the PS4. Hopefully they allow it to be a direct download.
Are we sure it's going to be for the PS4?
They said that it would also be on the PS4.
Okay.
That Miles Morales would also be on the PS4. Unless I was...
I mean, you're probably right. I just think I remember last time, like, oh, we made it specifically for the PS5 experience and stuff. So, like, I mean, that might have just been, you know, shit they were forced to say.
Let's see here. Polygon has it. Yeah, Miles Morales coming to PS4 also.
Okay,
we'll launch alongside PS5 version this holiday season.
Cool.
So, hopefully I don't feel like fucking buying the game again. I already have Spider-Man.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be its own thing. Like, I think it was mentioned that it would kind of be its own thing probably for like $30 or something.
Good. That sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
That sounds reasonable. When they're talking like it's like half the size of the regular game.
I mean, to be honest, I think something that's like, I don't know how long the game is, but if it's like, I guess they mentioned before it was like 15 hours tops. I don't think that's not a bad experience for a full price. I'd pay full price for that if I'm not one of those people who thinks that these be like 40 hours in order to justify a $60 price tag.
Oh, I don't know. No, 15 hours is good. It's good though.
Yeah,
that's good. It's good. Solid gameplay. 8 hours. For a single player campaign on normal mode without like doing anything else, 8 hours is a good solid single player campaign for most things that aren't RPGs in my mind.
I agree.
Yeah, and then they showed more of the village, Resident Evil 8 village, which they lean heavily that there might be some Resident Evil 4 connections.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the video and let me know what you think. It seems like we might be heading back to, what was that? It was like Spain or something like that, wasn't it?
Oh, from Resident Evil 4? It was Spain. Yeah, it was Spain.
I don't like the first person Resident Evil game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like the second one yet, but I didn't like 7. I didn't like Biohazard. There's going to be a bunch of free PS4 games if you're a PlayStation Plus member. Basically, they're taking all of the PS4 games that they've given us for free as PlayStation Plus members over the last year or so, and they're making them available for everybody again on PS5 if Smart. You're a PS4 member. So there's dozens and dozens of games that are going to be available day one. Like, even if you've only got, you know, Miles Morales is your only PS5 game, you'll have plenty of content available. Big titles too, including like Fallout 4 and shit. So, pretty cool. Price point $4.99 for the full PS5 with the
disc drive
with the disc drive, the Ultra HD Blu-ray, and then $3.99 for the digital only. Which, unlike the Xbox, the way that we understand it, there's no real spec difference between the all digital and the one with the disc drive, unlike the Xbox Series S, which is basically a souped up Xbox One X.
Yeah. What's the hard drive space on them? Do we know?
I think they're both 850.
850. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming there'll probably be another one up that's like 1.5 gigs or 1.5 terabytes. That is like $100 more for each one, I'm assuming.
I don't know. They only released these two. So these two points. I think they're gonna try to sell first party because both systems allow for easy installation of a second drive. Like, literally, it's like slide in, plug in. It's super easy. It's easier on the Xbox. Bravo to them. But they look like you're going to have to use the an Xbox proprietary solid state drive. It looks like. I might be wrong, but the back end looks like it's gonna require some sort of special. Like, you won't be able to just slide it in and it connects to a SATA and a power connection like it does in the PS4. And PS5, but I bet instead of trying to sell a third system with more space, I bet they just focus on selling hard drives and the fact that most people are not smart enough to hop onto Newegg.com and just buy a 2.5-inch solid state drive or the M2 or whichever one it is that they actually the PlayStation will accept. But yeah, I think they're gonna go for that. I don't know if we will see a 100 or a 1.5 terabyte PlayStation 5, at least not until the mid console upgrade.
Yeah, maybe
then. But yeah,
good price.
What do you think about the price points? I think that $3.99 digital, because it doesn't have a hit against the spec, unlike the Series S, $3.99 for it's a appealing. Next gen console. Think about that,
Jay. It's very appealing because, yeah, admittedly, like even Nick was talking, he's like, because he wasn't planning on getting a next gen, but like the Xbox Series S, he's like, that sounds appealing for $300. I can get a next gen console, and I'm thinking, but for $100 more, you can get a fully next gen console. His only negative side is that it doesn't have a disc drive. So yep. I don't know. It's very tempting. I'm probably not going to get one anytime soon, but it's tempting, I will say.
Yeah. Yeah. That $3.99 price point, that is Microsoft just took a shot to the gut on that one. That probably hurt them a little bit. They probably went, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's true. But I mean, it's still $100 less. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because the Xbox Series S is weird because like it's less powerful than the Xbox One X, isn't it?
It's basically
but like it still plays new console stuff, but like some of the specs don't match up to the One X or something.
No, they don't match up to the Series X at all.
No, One X.
One X. It's got like some of the same stuff in it, but it's newer stuff, so it's slightly better. It's like I said, it's kind of like the way I get it, it's like a souped up 1X. It's like a 1X. The one was the original. The 1X is the 1.5. So this is the Xbox two. I don't know.
Let's see here.
It's just a little bit better than a one X.
So on paper, Xbox One X may look like a more powerful system with more RAM and beefier GPU. The Xbox One X was designed and priced to be the most powerful console in the world when it launched. However, it was bottlenecked heavily by Jaguar CPU, which is architecturally the same CPU that shipped back in 2013 with the Xbox One base unit. Xbox One X is all about 4K gaming, blah, blah, blah. Xbox Series S, conversely, has far more powerful modern CPU built on AMD's contemporary processor architecture. Games that favor the CPU for performance, such as Destiny 2, could see their frames boosted from 30 to 60 frames per second on the Xbox Series S, despite it being more streamlined on paper than the One X. Xbox One X allowed 4K. I don't think the Series S allows 4K. I think it's only HD.
Yeah, somewhere between 1080 and 1440.
Yeah.
So, not
so it is interesting to me. Like, not saying it's worse, but it's interesting how, like, even, like, the last generation has aspects that are better on paper than one of the quote-unquote next-gen consoles. So, yeah, I think with that in mind, it is kind of interesting looking like, oh, yeah, you get a full next-generation console with a PS5 Slim or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the digital.
Digital version.
Anyways, you guys can find all of this and more at Final Fantasy. Literally, I've got the LRM tab open to the Final Fantasy story, so the word right next to LRM is the word Final Fantasy. But anyways, LRMonline.com. Check out the YouTube channel for lots of great celebrity interviews and more. And, of course, please subscribe and share our podcast channel wherever you get your podcasts from. Lots of great content on there. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of great podcast content. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of my stuff at LRMonline.com.
And you guys find me at that time alone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.